Amen. It's good to be here this evening for the closing night of the conference. And I would like to say on behalf of my wife and myself and Andrew, I want to thank you for your inviting us to be here. Well, Andrew came along and he needed a break, and we're glad he could come. Some of you can ask about the others there. Spent the past weekend in Freeport, as you know, our son-in-law Troy and his son Jonathan involved with the gospel group Forgiven. And they're in Freeport. We're in Freeport this weekend. We're recording for a new album or a new tape. And, we've really enjoyed being here. We want to thank you for your, fellowship and hospitality and love. Because my wife has come home, you know, that some of you may not know, but she was born in Spanish Wells. So she came home this weekend. It's been, 6 years since she's been able to get here. I was with you, of course, for the month of September of last year, but she was not able to come. And some of you have asked about her mother. Her mother spends part of the year with her sister, Mary's sister, Martha in Nassau, and the other part she spends with us. And, of course, when she's with us, Mary has to be there with her as well. We do appreciate your prayers. We plan to leave in the morning. We have to leave here at 8:15. We have a flight returning back to Marsh Harbor from North Eleuthera. We need you to pray for us and for the ministry that God has given to us. We want to say we do appreciate your prayers. We feel it. We know that you're praying for us as we pray for you. Shall we turn in the Psalms tonight, 95? Over the past 3 days, we have been hearing to the Christian the ministry of the Holy Spirit in a number of aspects. We've been thrilled as we sat and as we listened and as we were able to share to see how the Holy Spirit led each of us as God's servants. You know, it is our prayer when we come to minister God's Word, we don't want to come here to fill a pulpit. But we ask God to meet needs through His Word. And we have, in my own life, I've had needs met through the Word this weekend. And all of us can say the same thing. But tonight is the closing night, and I have been exercised as I have listened to the prayers going up, particularly for the unsaved. You see, one of these days, the last gospel message is going to be preached. The last invitation of the Bible is found in Revelation 22:17. And one of these days, you're going to hear the last invitation, the last message. My friend, what if it were to be tonight? Are you ready? Are you prepared? One of the hardest things I have to do as a servant of Jesus Christ is to conduct a funeral of someone who we have no hope, or that we realized or believed they had no hope for eternity. It's the most difficult thing that I ever have to do. But you see, God has given you another chance. And I'm not going to read the whole psalm for the sake of time. I'm just going to read verse 7 and verse 8. There is a phrase that, or a portion of that verse, 7th verse and that 8th verse that has been upon my heart since about 5:30 this morning. And I'd like to share it with you this evening. Verse 6 really will help us to connect it. Oh, come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God. We the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. But here's the phrase that has been, or the passage has been upon my heart. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. We're not going to take time to think of this psalm as a whole this evening. It is a psalm that begins with praise to God. But right in the middle of it, there is a warning. Referring back to the 17th chapter of Exodus, where the children of Israel murmured and complained, and where the Lord told Moses, his servant, to take the rod that he had stretched out over the Red Sea with, to take that rod and to smite the rock at Horeb. And the water came out. And that rock is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was smitten once for all at Calvary. And the water flowed out, speaking to us of the salvation of God that is flowing out to people even now. And so the very warning, or this warning, comes in the middle of the psalm. He says, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. I know that we have, Christians have heard the voice of God over this weekend. I want to say a word to us as well. Have we heard His voice as Christians? Have we listened to His voice? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to obey Him? Are we going to put into practice those things that we have heard? Are we going to be obedient? But my concern, my burden tonight is particularly for those of you who may be here and you do not know the Savior. You are no stranger to hearing the voice of God speaking to you in the gospel. You've heard His voice. God's servants have preached in this place and in the other churches in this community, and the gospel of Jesus Christ has been heralded forth. Spanish Wells is blessed. The Bahamas is blessed. With a flick of your switch, you can listen to the message of salvation on radio, and you can view it on television. And I dare say I don't believe there is a home in Spanish Wells tonight that does not possess one copy of the Holy Scriptures. We have it before us. We have to read. Literature is passed out, literature is given, and through all of this, God's voice is calling to you. And today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. I want to think of this verse in three very simple areas. First of all, we want to consider a day of glorious opportunity. Today. There's no time like today. Why does the Scripture say today? You see, God always deals with man in the present. God never says, I'm going to deal with you tomorrow when it comes to salvation. He says today. When Noah had obeyed the call of God to build the ark, and now the ark was completed, everything was in readiness, it was the Lord who said, come thou and thy house into the ark. And Noah and his family did not say, Lord, we'll wait until tomorrow. Because God had told them that judgment was coming. Today is a day of glorious opportunity. God always deals with us in the present tense. It is the tendency, it is a human nature, and the tendency of human nature to say to the Lord, tomorrow. Human beings, by nature and many times, are procrastinators. We're always putting off for tomorrow. And we say, well, I'll take care of that business tomorrow. I'll get that fixed tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. But God never says to us, you wait until tomorrow. He says, do it now. The scripture says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The prophet Hosea said, it is time to seek the Lord. The Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, said to his people, he said in chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. It was to Lot and his family that the angels, the messengers of God, said to them, escape for your life. Get out of here now. Because you will not have a tomorrow. My friend, God says, today. Some of you have been saying to the Lord for a long time, you've been saying to Him, tomorrow. You've been putting it off. You've been postponing that most important thing in your life, and that is your soul salvation. You have been saying, tomorrow, Lord. But there is one tomorrow, friend, that is not going to come for you. There is one tomorrow that's going to miss you, or you're going to miss it. And you're going to find that you waited one tomorrow too late. The invitation went out and it says, come. In the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke. Come, for all things are now ready. And I want to tell you, as the choir has been singing and others have been ministering too, you see, my friends, everything is made ready. There is nothing that you have to do. There is nothing that you have to try. You can come just as you are, just where you are, and you can come and you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Today is your day of glorious opportunity. Why does God say today? Because He doesn't promise you tomorrow. Why does God say today? Because death, the world's greatest detective, is trailing you even at this very moment. David said one day to his friend Jonathan, there is but a step between me and death. He realized that death was only one step away. When a believer dies in Jesus Christ, death for them is but a doorway into the presence of their blessed Lord. But oh, my friend, if you were to die tonight in your unsaved state, you will go from time into eternity lost, 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 lost. A number of years ago, in the old East Street Gospel Chapel in Nassau, my father was there on a Sunday night. And there were four or five young ladies that stayed behind after the meeting. And different ones were counseling with them, leading them to the Savior. It started to rain, and a man walked in, a young man. And he didn't like what he saw, and he started to talk, and he started to make noise, and he started to sing under sort of quiet, you know, and just loud enough to annoy them, but not real loud. He started to sing a calypso. Well, you don't, those of you who know my dad, he's a no-nonsense person. He went over and he spoke to him. He said, young man, do you realize what's going on here? Do you realize that souls are in the balance here and you are trying to disturb what's going on? The young fellow got a little belligerent.
My dad says, listen, young man, when you arrive in hell, you'll remember me speaking to you. And he gave him the gospel while he had the opportunity. He says, when you arrive in hell, you will remember this night. He walked out. About a year or so later, I think it was, my dad was walking down Bay Street. This young man came over to him. He says, Mr. Cartwright, do you remember me? He says, no, I don't think I do. Do you remember about a year or so ago in East Street Gospel Chapel, a Sunday evening, raining, started to rain, a young man came in and he started carrying on bad and he was disturbing the folk that were there being counseled. He said, yes. Do you remember speaking to that young man? Dad says, yes, I remember the incident. Do you remember telling that young man, when you arrive in hell, you'll remember this night? He said, yes, I do remember saying that. Maybe I was a bit harsh with him. He says, no, you weren't, Mr. Carter, because I was that young man. He said, I went out of that building. I went over to a bar and I tried to get something to drink. He says, and as I picked up the glass, I could hear the words, when I arrive in hell. I put the glass down on the counter. I went out. He says, I went to the movies. I tried to drown out what you said. All I could hear was, when I arrive in hell. He says, I walked out of the movies. He says, and I started home. He says, and every step I made, I could hear the voice, when I arrive in hell, when I arrive in hell, when I arrive in hell, when I arrive in hell. He says, Mr. Carter, when I got home, I got down on my knees and I cried to God for mercy. And I want to tell you, sir, I'm not going to hell. That young man had to be brought up with a jolt. You see, my friends, the thing is this, that when you die and you die without Christ, you're going to hell. That's why it is imperative that you hear and you heed the call of God tonight. Today is your day, sir, young man, young lady, a glorious opportunity. Today, if you will hear his voice. You see, not only is this so, but Jesus might come today. When death comes, you're not going to have the chance to cry for somebody. Don't think you will. You might. I can't guarantee it. But if Jesus should come, my friend, when he comes, and the church is caught up and caught out, you will search over this island for Christians that you laughed at, you made fun of, and you will search for somebody to lead you to Christ, but it will be too late. You see, Jesus will have come. That is why the Bible says today is a day of golden opportunity. Today, if you will hear his voice. Harden not your heart. Today could be your day of salvation. You remember when Jesus was passing through Jericho, Zacchaeus climbed up in the sycamore tree, as we used to sing, for the Savior there to see. When Jesus came under that tree, he looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. You see, the Lord Jesus calls people personally to be saved. Come down, Zacchaeus. When I talked with the kids and I said, I could see poor Zacchaeus, he almost lost his grip and fell out of the tree. He was so shocked. But down the tree he came. And Jesus said, today is salvation come to his house. My friend, today salvation can come to your life, to you. It is a day of golden opportunity. The Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy, he will abundantly pardon. I like that. A day of golden, glorious opportunity. But notice what it says today, if you will hear His voice. His voice is a voice of great authority. Great authority. Hear the voice of the Savior, not the voice of the preacher tonight. Not the voice of the philosopher. Not the voice of the revolutionary. Not the voice of the politician. All of those voices are out there, and they're calling for your attention. Not the voice of pleasure, young people. Not the voice of financial success. All of these voices are calling to you tonight. Hear His voice, the voice of the Son of God, as our brother was speaking last night in the gospel meeting. Hear His voice. It's a voice of great authority. His voice was heard in creation. Hebrews 11:3 tells us through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which appear. John 1 tells us He created all things. His voice was heard in creation. What a voice. His voice was heard in power and authority when He was upon the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ could stand up in the boat and He could say, "Peace be still." As the song says, the winds and the waves obey His voice. Peace be still. He could stand at the grave of Lazarus. And He could say, "Lazarus, come forth." That man, whom death had claimed for 4 days, comes out of that tomb. Made alive by the voice of the Son of God. He came out of there, His body, which Martha protested would have seen corruption, He came out of that tomb. Whole. A voice of great authority heard, my friends, upon the earth. He could say to that man, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." And he did. And His voice is heard calling to people as He says, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." This He spake of the Spirit, which had not yet been given because He had not yet been glorified. But I hear His voice on the cross. And as they're driving those spikes into His hands and into His feet, He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I hear His voice again out of the darkness as He cries. During those 3 hours of darkness, when God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, Matthew tells us, toward the end of the darkness, Jesus cries with a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me?" His voice is heard on the cross. He was forsaken so that you and I might not be forsaken. Christ died for our sins, says the Scriptures. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's why He cried. My God, why? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's why he cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? His voice is heard on the cross. I'm not dealing with all of those cries that he made. But I hear him crying, Matthew tells us. He cried again with a loud voice. And John supplies in John 19 and 30 that cry of victory, of triumph. Finished! It is finished! The debt has been paid! That cry reverberated through the courts of heaven and went to the caverns of hell. Finished! The Bible says the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. The earth did rend and the rocks did quake, and yet the cross stood. Finished! Yes, he died, my friend. But praise God, he rose again. And his voice is heard in resurrection. Revelation 1, 18. He says to John, as John lay prostrate before the glorified Lord Jesus, he puts his right hand upon him. He says, John, fear not. I am he that liveth and became dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallelujah, he's alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of Hades and of death. Voice is heard in resurrection. His voice, my friend, will be heard in the rapture. John says in Revelation 4, I heard a voice saying, come up hither. But his voice is also going to be heard in judgment. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Listen to these solemn words in Matthew 7. 21 to 23, the Lord Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? Have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew. Depart. My friend, that is the voice of great authority. Hear his voice. Today, if you will hear his voice, will you not hear the voice of the Son of God tonight say to you, as he's calling to you and he's saying, come unto me. All you that labor, heavy laden, come. Will you not come and you'll hear him saying to you, thy sins be forgiven thee. Hear his voice. A day of glorious opportunity today. A voice of great authority, if you will hear his voice. Here's a warning of grave responsibility. Harden not your heart. One of the things that I have seen about our Bahamian people, I'm sure Brother Ludi, Brother Frank, and Brother Tom, and others of us who labor primarily here in the Bahamas, one of the things we're finding is our Bahamian people are becoming less and less responsive to the gospel message. Some have become too sophisticated. Some, because of the almighty dollar, the only thing they can see are the dollar signs in front of their eyes. They're laboring for those things which perishes. Others, because of their religious activities. But we're finding, and I'm sure it's true in Spanish Wells, as it's true in Abaco and wherever else we go, that people are not responding to the gospel message like they used to do in these Bahama Islands. And I believe one of the reasons is because they hear it so often that their heart has become hardened. You know, you go to the store and you buy an alarm clock. Brand new alarm clock. And the first time that alarm clock goes off, you're just about to leap out of bed. But after a while, you know, you begin to reach over and you shut it off and you say a few more moments of sleep. And it comes a time when you can sleep right through that alarm and you don't hear it. My friend, are you in that position tonight where you have been hearing the alarm, God's alarm clock going off in the gospel, and there was a time when you were startled, there was a time when you were jolted, there was a time when you shook, perhaps you wept, perhaps you trembled. Perhaps you were so close to giving your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ that you were ready to step out of your seat, you were ready to go over to the office or consult somebody. But you've rejected. You've rejected. Bible warns that the heart can become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We're told this in Hebrews 3 and 13. That's why I appeal to the young people, to you teenagers, or not saved, to give your life to the Lord Jesus now. Don't wait until you're older. That's why the wise man in Ecclesiastes 12 and 1 says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not and the years draw nigh, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And he goes on in those verses that follow to describe how the body breaks down. The arms are not as strong as they used to be. The legs becoming feeble and the eyes becoming dim and the teeth falling out and the ears becoming deaf to the noise from outside. And also to the fact that you wake at a slight noise in the night. He says, do this, ere the silver cord be broken, and the golden bowl be smashed. Do it before you get old. Do it now. Do it today. You wait, and you wait at the peril of losing your soul. I saw this somewhere, and I jotted it down. It's been estimated that after 25 years of age, only 1 in 1,000 are saved. After the age of 35 years, only 1 in 50,000 are saved. After 45 years, 1 in 200,000. After 55 years, 1 in 300,000. After 75 years, 1 in 700,000. What does that tell you? Just what the scripture says. Just what the Bible says. That's why the scripture says, harden not your heart. The Bible warns that we're not to boast ourselves of tomorrow in Proverbs 27 and 1, for we do not know what a day will bring forth. And in the 29th of Proverbs in verse 1, the Bible says, he that being often reproved and hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Harden not your heart. Many people's hearts are hard because they're unrepentant. The second chapter of Romans, the fifth verse, the apostle writes, he says, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath when his righteous judgment will be revealed." A hard heart. A heart that becomes unresponsive to the gospel. Before I went into the Lord's work, we used to be involved in various ministries, young people's ministries at Central Chapel in Nassau. And every Friday afternoon, a group of us used to go down to what was called the infirmary. It was out at Prospect then, after the Princess Margaret Hospital was built. It was the old Army Hospital. And we'd go to the young ladies would go to the women's section, and the young men would go to the men's section. And I remember us going there and having meetings, having services for those men. And there was an old man from Calabash Bay Andrus. He had the nickname Calabash. And he used to come right up to us, and he'd sit there, and he'd listen to you, and you would think he was just taking in everything you were saying. When we were finished, and the last amen was said, the first words out of his mouth, "Did you bring me any cigarettes?" That's all he could think about. We tried to talk to that old man. We tried to get him to understand his need of the Savior, but his heart was so hard, it was so unresponsive. I remember preaching one afternoon at the very end of the corridor in a little place they had not closed off, but we could hear it. There was an old man down there dying. He had the death rattles in his throat. And those old men were walking up and down, and they weren't concerned. The heart becomes hardened. That's why, my friend, that gives you a warning of grave responsibility. Harden not your heart. You harden your heart by rejection of Christ, by postponing salvation, by putting it off. Today, a day of glorious opportunity. Oh, what an opportunity you have the last night of this great conference. This 8th day of June. To accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The one who hung on a cross for you. For me. He says, "Hear my voice." The Bible says in John 1 and 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name." The Lord Jesus said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Let's bow for prayer. I realize there's going to be a lot of activity in a few moments. But I'd like to say that I know Brother Don and others will be going over to the office. God has spoken to your heart tonight.
You've been hardening that heart. You've been resisting. You've been stiffening against the strivings of God, the Holy Spirit. For you see, His ministry to you is to reprove of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. If you have been hardening your heart, my friend, if you have been putting it off, I beg of you, I plead with you tonight, not to postpone salvation a moment longer. Please do not say tomorrow. For as the songwriter puts it, for tomorrow's sun may never rise for you. Will you come tonight? I wonder if there's someone in this congregation, this audience, and God has spoken to your heart and you're concerned about your soul. Why don't you slip your hand up? We'd like to remember you in a word of prayer. If you do this, we're going to ask that you make your way out and go to the office. And go next door so you can be quiet, away from all of the other activities that will be taking place. Listen, don't let anything distract you from coming to the Savior. Is there someone here tonight? Before we go to prayer. Anyone? Just step it up where we can see it. Anyone? I'm not going to prolong this part of the meeting. I believe in letting the Spirit of God do His work. But we want to give you an opportunity so that we can help you. Even if you leave and you go outside and you're concerned, speak to someone. Brother Ludi, Brother Frank, myself, Brother Eddie, Brother Clark, and others are here. Let us know your concern. We are here to help you tonight. With the open scriptures and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can help you tonight to be saved. Father, we pray that each one here of us, those of us who are thine, that we will accept the opportunities that we have been challenged with during these days, and we will go on from strength to strength. But our Father, we pray especially tonight that boys and girls and young people, moms and dads, Lord, even older ones who have been rejecting the Savior, that this will be their night to be saved. We thank you, Father, for thy word. Bless it. Bless us as we separate. Lord, bless those who will be traveling and to take for each one on the morrow and over the rest of the days that lie before us. And save souls this night, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.